I'll be waiting by the shore. Stand in a circle with love and arms around you, yeah. Come to the river where the mighty waters flow. And as the river unwinds, you'll see the turns of your life.
Welcome again. You are tuned to Heart of Mind. And today, in the first segment, it is pre-recorded, and I will introduce the guest in the segment. But it's someone that I've come to know. We're in similar vein, working through energy healing, Qigong, and the various healing arts. And this is another person who's offering a program that I think is very much worthwhile, and I am offering it to you as a potential that you might want to engage with. We all have different ways of interpreting the world, of healing ourselves, of supporting each other, and one of the things that I enjoy most about having this beautiful blessing in my life of this radio platform is to be able to open up the door to the many wonderful healers and teachers and authors that are out there doing their best to bring goodness into the world. And this is a person that I respect on that level. So I do hope that you will enjoy this interview and engage with this teacher in ways that you are so inspired. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis, and today we're going to be speaking to a very special guest, and that is Matthew Cohen. Matthew is the founder and creator of Sacred Energy Arts, a unique integrated system of health and self-development drawing from the teachings of Qigong, martial arts, and yoga. He has been fully immersed in the study and application of martial yogic healing arts for over 40 years. And that's pretty spectacular. Welcome, Matthew, to Heart of Mind.
Thank you so much for having me, Catherine.
I'm really pleased to have you. And I met you actually through the Shift Network. And you have an event coming up on the Shift Network that I want people to know about. And it's interesting. I myself do Qigong, but one of the greatest benefits that I have received from Qigong is an opportunity to study with a diverse selection of teachers, people from the States, people from China, and from other areas of the world. And I find that it's such a universal practice, very much related to yoga in some ways, and has a different language perhaps, but we're looking at the same basic principles in these practices. So I would love for you to tell us a little something first about your background. You've been studying since you were five. How did that happen? And how did that bring you to where you are right now?
I've been studying a long time. I was fortunate. My older brother, Scott, first of all, he had a book by Richard Hittleman called, it was a yoga book. I can't remember the name anymore, but it was new at the time. And this is, you know, around 1970. I found the book. I wasn't reading. I was just learning to read. So I was quite young. And I tried to put myself into postures. And I just noticed I really liked it. So that led me into watching television in lotus position, or watching the I Dream of Jeannie on my head, or the Munsters, all these TV shows that were happening then. And I noticed that it calmed me down. I was a little nervous, a little hyperactive kid. And the postures helped. And as I got older, I really liked movement. So I did gymnastics. And then my brother, Scott, same brother, got involved with Kung Fu. And he was working with Cam Yuen, who was the technical advisor for the Kung Fu series, if you remember that, in the early 70s. And he taught David Carradine Kung Fu. And he had a school out in Torrance. And my brother worked with him. And then I started learning Kung Fu. And it was revelatory to me. It was so fascinating, like, you know, something from another part of the world. It dealt with energy. You could learn to defend yourself. And more importantly, later, it helped me problem solve. So I got involved with Kung Fu and I never stopped. So I've been doing that, I don't know, 50 years now or more. Then I started dancing later. I guess it was a Fred Astaire movie and Gene Kelly movies. And then John Travolta, and then later Gregory Hines. I just loved watching dancers. The Fame Show, if you remember that, out of New York. And I danced and kept doing martial arts. And then around 18, I got involved in Qigong a little bit more through the Kung Fu practice. And then later at 21, I was in a car accident. I was in a very serious car accident at the time. I was hit by a semi-truck. And in order to rehabilitate myself, I started doing Qigong seriously. And that really awakened me to something powerful. I sought out Chinese and other teachers as well. But at the time, a Chinese practitioner helped me. And he helped me learn to meditate and breathe and stand. And that started to heal me. So it helped me heal my body. That's sort of the long story short. I learned to teach. I got involved in, as you said, the through line with yoga and Qigong is very similar. How to use your mind, how to use your breath, how to use energy, this force of, you know, every culture has a name for it. Like China, they call it Qi. In India, they call it prana in Japan. It's ki, this life force that's within us. And once I started to understand that I could regulate my energy, I started to heal. And my back got much better, and I started to heal my nervous system again. So, yeah, there's a short version.
Well, that's pretty good. And you have that experience of having healed yourself, which will give you insights in how to help other people heal, I think, as well. It's a good start from an unfortunate incident. Something beautiful came out of it. And I know that you are the founder of a particular kind of healing, sacredenergyarts.com is your website. So tell us a little something about how you developed Sacred Energy Arts and what is it exactly?
Okay, well, first of all, I was involved, as I told you, in Qigong for a long time and martial arts, and I was still dancing. I was also studying yoga. Loved movement. Movement is one of the few things that helped me at the time feel comfortable in my skin. When I was quite young, as much as I wanted attention, sometimes attention felt like battery acid or felt horrible to me because I wasn't able to love myself. So, you know, my teachers kept saying, meditate, meditate, you know, look inward. So I did that and I started to teach all of these things. And after a while, I kind of burned out. As much as I loved all of these things, I was still looking for some external validation. I was teaching dance and teaching martial arts and teaching yoga, and I got really tired and I stopped. And when I stopped, I took a break and I thought, okay, these exercises and these practices have helped me, but the real gift of them is to turn inward. So I looked deep inside and I stopped for a while and I started to look at the through line, and the through line was energy. And then I looked at what each of the practices was offering me. And I started to put them together as one. And when I did that, something happened and I started to calm down and I started to be able to give them more freely. And essentially the word sacred energy arts, or the term sacred energy arts, is S-E-A, right? Sacred energy arts, like the sea. So there's a flow to it. I liked that. Sacred in the sense of it's something that's precious. I'm not looking at it necessarily in a religious term, but something to me that is very potent in these practices. So sacred is the origin point. Energy, the through line, because all of these practices talk about energy. And art, because I believe that on some level we're artists. On some level we have an opportunity in this life to create with a big palette, to create our life as a work of art. If that's not too pretentious. So that was the title I came up with. And it reminds me to continually keep this precious, to work with energy and to do it hopefully in a beautiful way. The components are the things that I love. So I looked at yoga, and there are many limbs of Hatha yoga from India, but the primary pieces that grabbed me, asana, the physical postures, I think are quite interesting and beautiful. And I looked at them in categories. So it doesn't have to be that you necessarily have to learn every name in Sanskrit or every posture, but I like the idea of forward folding as a general theme, taking your head below your heart. You know, you see this in many cultures. You see in the Muslim culture, people take their head below their heart to the earth every day, right? Some people do it 5 times a day. So this idea of down to something beautiful, right? So when you take your head below your heart, you cool off, and it's an act of grace. It's an act of humility. It's an act of supplication. It's a way to slow down. So I applied that principle from yoga into the work. Back bends in yoga are a way to open your heart and a way to heat. So I like the idea of opening the spine as a way to bloom, so to speak. And also it's very nourishing and strengthening for the spine. To twist is to detoxify and aids digestion, elimination of waste. But it's also a way to look back, to see where we've come from, to recapitulate, to understand. So I look at each of the categories in a physical way, but also an energetic way and sort of a poetic way. Inversions, if you turn your head upside down, so to speak, that is to say, take your head low. You don't have to do a headstand or a handstand, but again, taking the head low and changing your perspective is very good for you. So, you know, turning things upside down like Alice in Wonderland. Balance postures, whether it's on one foot or on your hands or simply just balancing your hands in a mudra, is a way to find balance in your life. So those are the pieces of asanas that I look at from yoga. I also like that the yogic practice has taken a long look at breathing. And so has Qigong in many cultures. You see it, that breath is our first experience. It's our last experience. And it's so potent. You know, if we actually look at the breathing, when you breathe in, you gather life force. When you breathe out, you can let go of tension. You can let go of fear. You can let go of toxins. So in a sense, conscious breathing is Qigong. And yoga talks about that a lot as well in its own terminology. And the yogic practices look at breathing as medicine. And you can do different practices as you need them. And the other piece is meditation. So out of the many practices in yoga, I look at those three. With Qigong, the thing that struck me most, Qigong is like kind of saying music, you know, as you know full well. It's a huge topic, and it's not solely, it doesn't, even though we're using a Chinese term, it's not owned by the Chinese. Every culture works with energy. So the idea of energy cultivation was fascinating to me, that we have energy from what we think and what we eat and what we do and how we practice and sunlight, and all of these things can give us energy, and we can learn to manage it and regulate it. And in that sense, it's like being an artist. So I thought that was just fascinating. And I still think it's fascinating all these years later, and continually teaching me something. So I look at Qigong as a general term for cultivating energy, and also letting go of things in our life that don't work so that we get more energy. If you're carrying a heavy weight and you put it down, you feel more energy that way too. Or if one is in a relationship that isn't working with work or a person or an event, then putting it down is a way to get more energy. So that's how I look at the Qigong in general. And then martial arts, even if we don't learn to defend ourselves, which I think is a useful thing to learn, I don't believe in any way that it draws negativity to us. I think some of the most beautiful people I've ever met are martial artists, and they not only don't attract violence, but the opposite, they attract beauty. But knowing how to defend oneself is an important thing. And even if you don't learn that, the problem-solving aspect of martial arts is fascinating. For every situation, there's an answer. And I like that idea in if you look at a situation and you have an answer from the art, doesn't have to be based around any specific technique. It's just there's a way to solve it. So I look at martial arts as problem-solving and also interaction with another person. Qigong is a general way to cultivate energy, and yoga, as I described, as breathing and posture. And I took what I found useful in those large and beautiful arts and put them together in a way that works for me. And I don't think that this is better than other arts. I think each one of these arts stands alone, but together they're a little stronger for me. Sort of, I like the image of a mutt rather than a purebred, you know. I think this is kind of like a mutt, you know. I'm pulling from different things that have struck my heart. So that's the general thesis. And then I have practices in sacred energy arts that work from various ways to start. So you could start the practice lying down. You could start it sitting up. You can start it standing up. You can start it moving. And I took that from Taoist meditation, because when I was young, I learned that there are five categories of Taoist meditation: lying, sitting, standing, moving, making love. And I'll leave the last one out. But the first four, lying, sitting, standing, moving, struck me as a way to start a practice. So instead of starting one way, like often in Kung Fu, you start standing, or in Qigong, we often start in Wuji, is the standing posture. I think I like the idea of starting either lying, sitting, standing, or moving, depending on how the student wants to engage with the practice. From there, you can do it in a yin way, a very receptive, soft, gentle way, or you can do it a little more yang, depending on the day, a little more active. So the art has some choice. And I also think that it's important to honor where we are in our life. So what season are you in? And, you know, I don't know yet, but perhaps I'm in fall. I'm certainly not in summer or spring. Hopefully not in winter, but I think I'm probably in fall. You know, if you look at your life in maybe 20 to 25 year cycles, if we're lucky, right? If we're lucky, we get 100 years. If not, maybe 80. Then each season is a cycle of 20 years. And I wouldn't want to train like I did when I was 20 because it would cripple me. But I also want to respect where I'm at. So I try to offer that for the student. Like if you're younger, you can train a little more assertively. And if we're a little bit older, you can train a little more gently. And that's a Taoist idea. Anyway, that's quite a lot of information going on, but that's the idea.
Well, it does sound wonderful. And I have to, you mentioned poetry. I would say that the sacred energy arts would be poetry in motion because of all that expression and potential for people to find their own expression within your teaching. And that in itself can be very powerful because people do want to be able to function at their level. I used to take yoga classes myself, and I found that I didn't thrive because the teaching was probably spring and I was already autumn and I couldn't keep up. And so I think it's good for people to be able to make those choices. And before we continue, let people know about your workshop coming up. It sounds like a really good experience for people to consider.
Thank you. Yes, it's an honor to work with this company. It's this Shift Network, which you've also worked with and where we met. And I like the idea of Shift so far because it is a multidisciplinary approach to life. They have many different practices at the network. And my work, I do my best to also have it be a multidisciplinary approach to health. So the course is called Befriending the Dragon. It starts August 8th, and you can find it on my website at sacredenergyarts.com. The theme is there are dragons. When I grew up, the dragons we looked at were like King George had to kill a dragon. It was something to be afraid of. And then when I started looking at the Taoist work and learning Kung Fu, I realized that the dragons in Chinese practices protect, as you know, they protect. They're in search of immortality, in search of health. They protect knowledge, they protect wisdom. So I thought, okay, that's interesting. And over the years, I started to look at dragons as friends and allies. Our mind is our ally, our breath is our ally, and these dragons can be our allies. The two dragons I'm looking at in this particular course are the dragon of shadow and the dragon of light. Shadow is our insecurities, our fears, the things that we haven't wanted to look at that are actually there to help us grow. They're reminding us to learn and evolve. But sometimes it's a little scary to look there. The dragon of light, which for some people is also scary. As I said, when I was young, I didn't like praise. The dragon of light is our beauty and our gift and our dharma, so to speak, our path in this life. So I'm going to look at these two aspects of self and share how we can befriend them so that we can bloom more. And the topics are going to be meditation, breathing, Qigong, and in particular, how we can allow the practice to become our ally. So we'll have habits that last a lifetime. And it's a live event. You can join every week. And if people can't make the live event live online, you'll get the information for life. So you have it in perpetuity, which is rare for me. I'm an old school teacher, and I was always taught that you kind of get the information with your teacher, get it in your bones and garage style sort of, you know, you just practice into your habit. But now with online courses, you can watch this stuff again and again, like we used to with video. So this is something the students will have for life. And I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a beautiful practice.
It sounds like it. So give the dates again and your website in case people didn't catch it the first time.
Perfect. It starts August 8th. That's a Tuesday. It'll run for 7 weeks. And you can reach me at sacredenergyarts.com. That's sacredenergyarts.com. And if you miss the course the first week or so, you can always opt in afterwards. And again, you'll have the information for life.
Excellent, excellent. And we are speaking with Matthew Cohen, who is talking to us about his passion, really, and what he's bringing to the world through sacred arts of healing, sacred energy arts, as his website says. And I'm interested also for you to speak to the sense of integration that I'm hearing you speak about. We hear a lot about mind, body, spirit kind of practices, but not everybody understands what that means intellectually, while you seem to be giving it to us somatically. You know, it's through the action of doing these things that you're awakening these facets of being. And I'm wondering if you could reflect on that, if I'm correct.
You are correct. I believe that since we're in this, I guess it's just this rented vehicle for a while, right? Our body, for however long we get it, it's the easiest way to enter a practice, which is through the body. You can understand something intellectually, but that'll only take you so far. You know, it's like, how do you know what a peach tastes like until you taste it, right? You can talk about it all day long, but you actually have to take a bite. So entering into the practice through the body, I find very powerful and very useful. And the easiest way to do that, I find, is through the breath and simply looking at one's breath and seeing where you are in your breath cycle. Someone just takes a moment to turn inward and, oh, there I am. I'm breathing in. Okay, here comes the exhale. I'm breathing out. Every time I breathe in, I'm gathering energy. Every time I breathe out, I'm letting go of tension. So just that simple idea and practice can change one's life and can become much more healthy doing that. And that will allow us to start to get integrated with heart and mind, or brain and heart specifically. And once we get into coherence through thought, through intention, and through breath, the body starts to go into its natural state. And we can move away from fear. We can move away from anxiety. We can start to embrace life a bit more. So there's an integration in that. Then this idea of having things be gentle and slow, which is a big part of Qigong, and over time you can pick up the pace if you'd like. And that can be done through everyday things like walking, or it can be done through Qigong, or very specific patterns that I'll teach in the course. The integration really starts, as I see it, with our consciousness and our intention. I'm utilizing Qigong and yoga and breath work because they're things that I love, but one might do that through cooking. Someone else might do it through painting. You know, it's the integration comes through being willing to engage in your life fully and look at what's really happening. So that's very important to me. The integration also comes through understanding some of these basic energetic ideas that Qigong teaches and yoga teaches. So for instance, there's an idea in Tai Chi and Qigong that the ascension is predicated on the root. So if you root, which is to say that you have a deep, undisturbed connection to the earth, now that can be physical. You could be standing and having a powerful stance when you do Tai Chi or martial arts or play tennis, or you could even be on a surfboard and still have a powerful stance, even though you're not on the earth, you're on the water, you're still on your board. But you can also have a powerful stance in your mind and in your heart and in your belief system and how you treat individuals in the world. So it's much more than just rooting physically, it's rooting in your life. And what could be having a clear intention, knowing why we're here on this planet, to serve others, to be a light, to be conscious, whatever that is, to be a good father, to be a good mother. Whatever your intention is, that's your root. Once you have that, the energy will start to grow and bloom because you'll be in alignment with your truth. So this idea that ascension is predicated on root. If you root in your work and you root in your family life and you root in your life, then you can start to bloom and you'll start to grow like a tree. So that's a very foundational idea in Qigong and Tai Chi that can be applied to life that'll help us integrate in anything we do. I also look at it more specifically if someone's practicing energy cultivation practices from Qigong, from China, say, or from India, like yoga. How do these two meet? Because even though they were developed in different parts of the world at different times by different people, as you said in the beginning, there's a through line, right? There is an inflection point and there is a meeting point. And if you understand that that meeting point is consciousness, its breath, and it's how we use our energy, then any shape we take can start to be informed by that. It doesn't have to be a shape that looks like someone in India or someone in China. So once you understand that, the practices can really introduce themselves to each other, so to speak, right? And in that way, it is a bit poetic. I used the term poetry before, and I like poetry as well, because for those of us that like poetry, I think a good poet will allow in a few words, perhaps, truth to impact the heart and the mind. And it moves through the armoring, right? It moves through the intellect, it moves through the physical armoring, and it goes right to the heart. And that's what I'm trying to do with my work, so that the integration of these practices touches some truth in the individual. And the doorway in is through the body. So it could be through breath, it could be through posture. It could be when you wake up in the morning and you start your practice, you align with your intention. And that might be a global intention, like to be of service. It might be a smaller intention to be a good husband. It might be a smaller intention to be of use in my work day today. And it might be very small for the next 10 minutes while I'm speaking to breathe consciously. And all of those intentions will empower, I believe, our action throughout the day, because the intention will awaken and inform everything. So it starts with intention. And then you can let go of the intention and let it play in the background because you know it. And then you focus on your breathing, and that brings attention. And attention is the quality of our presence. So I hope that makes sense, if it's not too obtuse, but ideally, integration in the practice starts with intention, and then action comes from there.
Makes perfect sense to me, and I think it will to all who are tuned in right now. And it strikes me, have you written a book?
I have not written a book. It's on the list. I'm working.
Yeah, I understand. We all have those lists. I have one that on my list as well. But I think that you convey a message that is very absorbable for people to understand, who might not naturally think that, well, when I see people in the park doing these slow exercises and they're not really understanding why or what the benefit might be, you're kind of giving an in-depth understanding that it's exercise, yes, and it's powerful for the body, but these practices are powerful for us as beings living in this existence on the planet. And it's a way of, as I experience it, of sustaining wholeness in the face of a controversial, stressful world, so that we don't lose ourselves in the chaos or in whatever backlash we might experience or challenges we may have. You really just need your body, your mind, your heart, your intention. It doesn't take a lot to be able to engage in these practices once you have some understanding of what you're doing. And I think that that's a powerful tool for people, whatever their interests might be, whatever their economics might be. It's something that's very, very accessible, I think, the practices of Qigong, of yoga. And that integration of them to me seems quite powerful in the way that you're offering it. So that's pretty, pretty cool.
Thank you. Yeah, I love it. I think it's fascinating to me. I feel very blessed to have had good teachers and friends and continue to engage in the practice. I think the practices are also very generous. You know, they if we take a step towards them, they'll take two towards us. And there's a lot to doing, you know, as you said, like moving slowly. Sometimes people look at it and think like, okay, new age, sandals and candles, that's too weird for me. Why are you doing that? You know, I don't understand it. But if you give it a chance and just try a practice, usually what happens is something in the nervous system will go, I feel good. It feels like home. I'm relaxed. Treat it as a meditation. And then from that place of meditating, which is simply just looking at oneself, something opens up. and the body starts to get alive again and starts to feel refreshed and recharged. And I think that's quite useful. And it's also, as I said earlier, it's like music. You know, there's East Coast and West Coast rap and East Coast and West Coast jazz and rock and hip hop and classical. And Qigong is that broad as well. So there's martial practices of Qigong where you learn to engage in Qigong in a way that will allow you to learn martial arts, become more martial with the practice. There's healing Qigong, which is solely medicinal, like a medical practice to get you online, so to speak, and healthy. And then there's a spiritual practice, which is also deeply connected to Taoist and Buddhist philosophy, but also one's individual spiritual practice. So you can be agnostic, atheist, Christian, Buddhist, Hindu, and still practice Qigong. It's inclusive, mm-hmm. not exclusive. And I find that to be quite lovely. It's a great practice.
I totally agree. Yeah. I certainly love it as well. And I think that people should consider that, you know, this is an exploration. You know, maybe you don't know if you're spiritual or medical or martial, but it gives you a chance to experience a taste of what the different facets of it are, and then perhaps go on in different directions as time goes on. But I always think that people, I always hope that most people will introduce themselves to the practice and experience it for themselves and see how they respond to it and how it is able to enhance their lives and their health. So I am really happy to be able to share your work with the listeners of this program. And hopefully many of you who are listening will check it out. At the very least, you can go to the website and learn a lot more about Matthew's work, sacredenergyarts.com. And you'll read his story there as well as see the different kinds of practices that he offers. And as a Qigong practitioner myself, I do endorse exploration. It's important because some people might resonate and explain something in a way that no one else does. And there are so many different practices that there's room for that exploration to see where you might want to find your path, because you might find a path in this particular program. What is it called again? Dragon?
Friending the Dragon.
Friending the Dragon. And you can find out more at sacredenergyarts.com. So I'm really having a lot of fun, and I'm happy to have you today, Matthew. Have we left anything out that you'd like to share?
No, I think this has been really lovely. I would say that if you guys are interested, please check it out. You kind of have to court the practice like you court your sweetheart. If you show up and come correct, then the practice will move towards you. And whether it's with myself or someone else, I really hope that you guys engage in some meditative and Qigong practice. Catherine, it's been lovely to talk with you. I appreciate the opportunity. And I hope to see you soon.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks. Take care.
And that was our interview with Matthew Cohen. And before leaving today, actually, you know, we have some time. Hopefully we can talk back and forth a bit before ending. But I wanted to play a song by Sinead O'Connor. She was always one of my favorite artists, and I just wanted to play a little bit of her music in memory and in celebrating her life and honoring what she brought to the world, and hopefully offering her some peace and solace in her continued journey through existence.
Religion within. I will learn how to move.
O'Connor, that song has such a different context than when I first heard it. Just Like You Said It Would Be, Sinead O'Connor. I actually was introduced to Sinead as an artist through a program used to be on WBAI hosted by Delphine Blue. I think it was called Shocking Blue. I really got a lot of clues into some of the revolutionary and powerful music that was available around the world. So I thought that that was something that I really wanted to share with you. And I also have been in conversation, even in my classroom, as I've been doing, you know, I do Qigong classes myself 4 times a week online, but I have, we've cultivated a real elevating relationship in these series where we are in conversation and sharing our insights, and that's always something that I also enjoy. And I'm just going to share the briefest bit of one of these conversations, not the whole thing. But let's see if it actually works. Technology is a curious thing. Let's see what happens here. It's nice because all of the controversy in the world I knew it. I knew it. Ran into some problems with it, so I'll have to do it live. Sometimes you just got to trust your instincts. But basically, what we were speaking of is being able to sustain our strength in the face of so much controversy in our world and in our environment, and how difficult it is for that to happen. And I've been talking a lot about this over the last couple of programs that have been live, where I've been looking at how to sustain core strength in the face of challenge environmentally, challenge in terms of relationships, in terms of equity, in terms of abundance, and the compromises that we sometimes are, that are sometimes requested of us. And we really do just have to stand up to support ourselves in so many ways. Otherwise, well, you know, we succumb and we lose our true essence. And I noticed this trend as I was watching the news and seeing what's going on in the continent known as Africa. I'm sure everyone calls it Africa, but I remember back in history when, well, I don't remember it, but I have studied the different generations and historical records and names of the African continent. And so when I say Africa, I understand that is its name, but it also, I have that reverberation of the past always calling to me with the ancient civilizations and great kings and queens. And it wasn't so much a continent in the way we view it today. And then I also look at the horrible suffering that the people of this continent have gone through, you know, through colonization and exportation into slave markets and exploitation of natural wealth, minerals, agriculture, just the physical labor of the people. And I've been watching these coups that have been going on across West Africa, with the most recent one being in Niger, I think it's pronounced. And it's a situation where the country is one of the poorest in the world. 80% of the people in that land don't have electricity. You know, think about that. 80% of the people in an entire continent do not have electricity. Yet they possess the minerals that are being used to generate energy through nuclear power in France, and I'm sure in other places around the world. But yet the people who are tied to agreements that were made during a period of colonization have kept them in the neo-colonial state, in which the people are subjugated to the relegation of a foreign power that is finding itself wealth and prosperity at the expense of the people who are sourcing that raw material. And I'm sure this is behind many of the coups around the world, where there's a level of exploitation and people have had enough. So when I look at these beautiful young men in various ranges, you know, sturdy, strong young black men standing up for their people, it is encouraging. And that inspired me to think in terms of, in the context of our own lives, and for us to begin to examine how we have ourselves been colonialized in different ways, and how our energy, which is the natural resource of our embodiment, that physical energy, that capacity to provide labor, to build things, to create things, that full-on energetic resource within us very often gets navigated away or tied into these relationships in which all of our vitality and life force goes into the production and into the resource coffers of those that have colonized us. And I look in many ways at the capitalist system as the system of colonialization. It does it locally to the individual, and it does it internationally to countries who don't have the military might to fend themselves, to fend off these efforts. So I kind of applaud these African leaders who are embodying this self-empowerment. We have to, I think, rather than allow military might to come in and crush these fledgling leaders, that we should be engaged with them, talking with them, understanding what their motivation and purpose is, and support negotiations and business relationships that allow the people in those countries to thrive. I was looking at another clip that I don't remember the country, and I'm not going to search for it to play it now, but it was one of these countries that is, you know, and the minister ended up resigning anyway, but one of these countries where they were like, we have to stop climate change. And the best way to stop climate change, so there's this new movement that the greatest problem of climate change is people. It's people, not cows, that are creating the climate crisis. And so that there needs to be an impetus towards eliminating people and encouraging people not to have children. And this particular European minister said, you know, flat out that we need to save the planet by encouraging more abortions in Africa. Now, I'm not suggesting that people shouldn't have a right to abortion if they should choose, but to have an entire apparatus geared towards, specifically towards eliminating people, a group of people, it wasn't, let's eliminate people being born all over the world. It was a concerted effort to create an environment within the African continent that would stop the birth of more brown babies. So to me, that's, what is that? You know, genocide. It's an attitude that prevails and that has prevailed throughout the colonial era. It's a terrible situation. But also I want to say that this is true in our individual lives. We should support those leaders and talk to them rather than push them into a corner with military might. But also when in our own lives, we have to stand up on our own 2 feet and maybe make choices that are uncomfortable for ourselves and renegotiate our energetic fire, renegotiate and pull back our capacity to make decisions with a much longer term perspective than the next paycheck, so that we can really begin to unite as a humanity that is in service to its own good, rather than each of us individually in our own silos being colonized into the service for some corporate entity that's going to degrade our life, probably pollute the earth, and walk away with all the profits while us as citizens languish without health care, without housing, without access to food, access to energy. It's all in degrees. It's a global world problem. But we can solve it in our own life, in our own lifetime, by coming to the realization of the power game that's being played against all of us. And as we can come into that resonance of who we truly are, and what I get from many of these practices, my meditation, which I was going to share with you, is that we are our own country. We are our own land. Each of us as individuals have to understand that we are sovereign in that way. It's not about money. It's not about the physical land of the country. It's about the ground of our being that we must hold sovereign and strong and full and true. And we have to make decisions that are going to be beneficial to us and to each other at a level that pulls back from the exploitation of our economic environments overall. And then if we can bring ourselves to do this, then we could recognize the humanity in each other, because we're recognizing our own humanity and we are recognizing our own struggle and we're recognizing our own challenge, but yet facing it with responsibility, with inner strength. We could look at someone on the other side that may look different, that may be colored different, that may have a different accent or a different language, but understand that as human beings across the board, the human civilization, that we are at a point when we need to go back into ourselves, back into the ancient knowledge, back into the understanding of who we are as a sacred power on earth, and not anymore be exploited by those that would extract our minerals, our energies, our wealth for their own profit.